Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening today. We're going to talk with Isaac Brown, the head coach of Wichita State basketball. In Isaac's first season, he helped the Shockers win an American Athletic Conference title, return to the NCAA tournament. We're going to find out about how the summer went, talk about the newcomers, and kind of get back to school year and basketball. Isaac, take us through summer workouts. What kind of things did you do? Was there a main emphasis, something that you were trying to really get accomplished?
We just want to try to build on the success, from the season we had. All summer long, we worked on skill work. We got to become a better skill team when it comes to handling the basketball, going out, making basketball plays, and we got to shoot it better. Our last two games of the year, from the three-point line, we struggled. From the free throw line, we struggled. So we're working on shooting a lot this summer. Got to become a better shooting team.
I guess from watching the NBA playoffs, I was pretty locked in. I began to see how important it is to have guys who can create their own offense, who can, you know, attack a closeout, dribble pass, do those kind of things. What are the best tactics? Is it just repetition? What's the best way to get people improved in those areas?
I think the way to improve in that area is playing a lot of one-on-one. You know, every day after practice, we play one-on-one and we stat it. We need to know who can create off the bounce, who can go get a shot, because teams scout you. So when we play other teams, they scouted us for 3 weeks. They know that the play is coming. They're sitting on it. So at the end of shot clock, you got to have guys that can go create for themselves or create someone else an easy shot.
You've been here. Several Shockers have gone through the evaluation process for the NBA draft. How do those workouts help? How might Tyson Etienne come back benefiting from that experience that he went through this summer?
I'm excited for Tyson to have that opportunity to go play against NBA players, to go do these different drills, to go to Indianapolis just to work on his game and improve it. I think it's going to help him a lot from a leadership standpoint. I think it's going to help him a lot knowing what he got to work on during the summertime, working on his floater, working on his mid-range game, being a better three-point shooter, being able to create in ball screens. I think the biggest thing he learned this summer is to be an NBA player, you got to know how to create in ball screens, and that's something Tyson has worked on all summer long.
You mentioned his leadership, and I think that's something we've talked about over his two seasons here, but maybe not enough as I kind of am around him more and hear more stories about him. Give us some insight into what he does as far as a leader.
You know, he just controls the locker room. He controls the practice. Dexter Dennis and Morris Udeze, those guys did a great job too. I think the reason that I'm here now is because those guys were great leaders. We lost that game against Oklahoma State. When I walked in the locker room, I heard those guys giving a speech about not making excuses, be ready to go, and we got to learn from this game. And they brought that type of winning attitude to practice every day. When I got the interim job, those guys stood behind me. Those guys, like I said, were the leaders on the floor. They were the leaders in the locker room, and they were the leaders off the floor. They did a great job.
So when other people on the team hear that message from the upperclassmen, how is that different from hearing it from the coaching staff?
I think it's different because when you got the best players on your team, the ones that play all the minutes, when they're telling the young guys these different things about leadership, those guys tend to listen more.
I asked several of the players this, so I'll ask you about what was the game or the moment where you thought this group has a chance to do something really special. Was there a particular time that stands out to you from last season?
I would say the Ole Miss game. Going on the road in that game, I'll never forget, we were down in the first half. We took the lead early in the second half. We got down late with 8 minutes to go. I think we were down like 10 points, and those guys just came together and they battled. And I'll never forget in the locker room that game. I didn't want to say it on national TV, but I told those guys, you guys got the opportunity. We have enough in this room to win an AAC championship, and it came true. So that was the game.
It did come true. I got a lot of Ole Miss games. Tyson at the end pointed to Oral Roberts, and I think that was before they made their Sweet 16 run. So Tyson, I have to give him credit. He saw something in the Golden Eagles that maybe a lot of people did not. As I've jumped in and out and watched a little practice over the summer, Craig Porter caught my eye. He seems bouncier. He seems more comfortable. How did Craig Porter's summer go?
Yes, Craig Porter last year, everybody knows that he missed 60 days, 42 days due to COVID protocol. He never had COVID, 18 days due to injuries. It was a battle last year in practice. At one time, I never knew who was going to start at the point between him and Al Tariq. He was that good. But he missed so many days, and he got behind. He wasn't as nearly explosive as he was. He's really worked this summer with Kerry. He's done a great job on his quickness, his explosiveness, and he's moving around, and we are expecting a lot from him this year.
Got a lot of newcomers on the team. Let's start with Joe Pleasant, a transfer from Abilene Christian, and he seems to be one of the newcomers who has an immediate important role at power forward. Tell us a little bit about his summer.
Having a young basketball team, we wanted to recruit a couple older guys, and Joe Pleasant was one of those guys. He's a guy that plays a 3, 4 to 5. He's a leader on the floor. He helped Abilene Christian to beat Texas in the NCAA tournament. He made some clutch free throws. He can shoot it really well from the three-point line. He shot 43% from the three-point line at Abilene Christian, and he can score it on the block. He's a guy that you can run offense through. He does a great job on defense. He's a big-time get for us.
When I think about Shocker offense over the years, when it's had power forwards, four men who can shoot, it's really been beneficial. I'm thinking about Ben Smith, Calanthony Early, obviously, people like that. Does Joe Pleasant kind of fit that mold, and is that the kind of guy you're looking for at power forward?
I didn't see Ben Smith play. I heard he was a good shooter. He's not Calanthony Early. Calanthony Early was more of a two-guard that played the four spot. Joe is a three that's playing the four spot. He can make stationary threes. He's pretty good off the bounce. He can really score on the low block, where Clee wasn't a guy that really scored it on the block. He was more of a perimeter skill guy. He scores it on the block as well.
Transfer from West Texas A&M. Pronounce his first name for me. Is it Quay?
Quay.
Quay Grant. Guard. Tell us a little bit about his summer.
Quay Grant was one of the top scorers in Division II, averaged 22 points a game. He led his team to an elite conference winner. He ended up making it to the national title game. They came up short. They lost that game. He can really score. Like I said, he can create off the bounce. He can defend at a high level. And losing, you know, in the backcourt, we got to have another guy that can create off the bounce. And he does a great job of getting off ball screens, getting in the lane, creating shots for others. And he can create his own shot, and he can make three-pointers as well.
Kenny Poto has not been here yet. He's playing internationally. How do you think that international experience will help him?
I think it helped him a lot. You know, being able to go back to Sweden this summer and playing against older guys, touring your country. The final game, he had 21 points. He was 4 for 4 from the three-point line. He's a guy that can pick and pop, make stationary threes. He can really pass the basketball. So that's a good thing we need in our offense. And he can score it on the low block. He's 6'11", 235 pounds. So we wanted to get bigger at that center spot. And Kenny brings that for us.
Okay, last season there was a lot of confetti at Wichita State. We had confetti going when they made the announcement about your job status, confetti after winning the American Athletic Conference title. Did you save any of the confetti from those celebrations? Did you stick it in a vase somewhere, stick a little in your pocket?
No, not at all. I didn't save any confetti. We swept it up, and we got right to practice. Really exciting time. I was excited about the opportunity to be the head coach at Wichita State. Truly blessed. You know, a lot of times when you start your basketball career, your first job is usually at a lower level. I'm just so blessed to be able to have a top 25 job in the country.
How about a piece of the net from cutting down the nets? Did you save that?
Yes, I got a piece of the net when we won the conference championship, and I got that net at home. I'll be putting it in my office really soon.
That is a good keepsake. Entering your second season as head coach. Head coaches, as people know, there's a lot of off-the-court duties. You're out there meeting with fans. You've got administrative tasks. Got to talk with the media, fundraising, all those kind of things. How is the adjustment to those parts of being a head coach going for you?
I'm enjoying it. You know, Wichita State has great fans in our city. I enjoy getting out, meeting with the fans, meeting with the boosters. I enjoy doing the community service. I love doing the talk shows, talking about Wichita State basketball, and I'm just really excited for the season to get started, to meet more people, and those fans back us a lot, so I'm super excited about it.
So over your many years as an assistant, I'm sure you were observing, taking notes, worked with a lot of great head coaches, compiling some sort of list. I would do this as a head coach. Which of those items are you really putting an emphasis on this summer?
I would say I learned a lot from all of those guys. You know, I worked with John Pelfrey at South Alabama and Arkansas for 8 years. I worked with a legendary coach, Bruce Stewart, my first job in college basketball. He was a head coach at Middle Tennessee State. He won a couple NCAA tournament games. I worked with three Final Four coaches, John Brady, who was a head coach at LSU, Richard Williams, who was the head coach at Mississippi State, and Greg Marshall. I think the biggest thing I learned from all those guys is just being organized. You got to be organized as a coach. You're the leader of the program. You got to lead in the right way. You got to keep it 100 with these kids, and you got to get your team to play hard. And that's what we worked on all summer long, just our identity. We want to rebound, we want to defend, and we want to play with toughness.
I've got some questions from fans that they have submitted. The first one is a good one. I may hand over my question-making duties to this gentleman. Scott asks, Coach, would you ever use the Elam ending on occasion in practice in a scrimmage to bring a different intensity and sense of urgency? Have you ever considered that?
No, I had never considered that because they don't use that in college basketball, so it's nothing I've really thought about it. I enjoy watching it, but I'm not familiar with that. You know, I just watched it during those two games in the TBT, but that's something we probably wouldn't use in practice.
Here's one from Chris. What player on the squad will surprise everyone this year?
I think we got two. I think Ricky Council and Craig Porter. I think Ricky Council, being a young guy that played 17 minutes a game, his minutes are going to go up. He was on the all-freshman team. And I think Craig Porter, they didn't see the best of Craig Porter last year. Like I said, he missed 60 games due to COVID protocol and, you know, injuries and stuff. So he'll be back. He'll be 100%, so he'll be ready to go.
From Matt, what's the biggest difference between last year's squad and this year's squad?
I think the biggest difference is I feel like we're more athletic. We wanted to get longer. We wanted to get more size. And we were able to go out and get two big guys that can score the basketball. Kenny Poto can really score it. He can shoot the three. And Joe Pleasant, an experienced guy that can make threes, and he can post up as well.
We're going to wrap up with one from a famous Wichita food blogger, Eddie, big Shocker fan. Do you have a favorite restaurant or two around town that you like to go to?
I would say my favorite restaurant, and I go to a lot of them, probably Doodah Diner. That's the one I probably go to the most.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.